This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge, and a pretty important podcast today, and it's one that I've been looking forward to chatting about for a while, and it's a great pleasure to welcome returning guest onto the show today, Ellen Hart. Ellen, welcome back.
Thank you, Brad. I'm so glad to be back with you.
Ellen, out of all the guests I've had, when it comes to nutrition, I think I'm most keen to chat to you about it, just because of the history and the issues you've had to deal with from eating disorders and getting that balance right when it comes to nutrition, particularly being able to fuel an Ironman. It's something you've had to work particularly hard at.
That is true, and you're right. I mean, we all have to. I mean, that, some people say that that's the fourth discipline of Ironman. It's the swim, bike, run, and the nutrition. And yes, that's something that is really an important thing that I've had to work on pretty hard.
Ellen, in triathlon circles, and we touched on this in our first chat, there's often talk about being slightly lighter going into race day, and someone says, oh, you look 10 pounds heavier than what you should. It's very much for you, and I struggle with the same thing. It's very much a mental game, and it's a tough juggle, a tough act to sort of keep that balance, that you're not going in too light and sort of almost starving yourself, but you need to get in there in top shape and feeling good from a nutrition point of view.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm hearkening back to 2011 where somebody made a comment about my weight and I was undernourishing. I mean, and I don't know if I put the tag anorexic back on me. I wasn't bulimic, but I wasn't nourishing myself adequately for my training load. And, you know, there were certain signs and signals and physical signals that I should have caught. And even if it wasn't that I was, you know, stick thin, when I wasn't nourishing myself properly for workouts, I didn't get the quality of the workout that I could have gotten. And so all of the workouts leading up to Kona in 2011 were somewhat lessened, were somewhat compromised, because I went into those workouts without enough energy to really complete it at a high with high quality. So it's not just, you know, what you eat the day of the race, and it's not just what you eat the week before, or, you know, what the number says. That's one of my least favorite parts of Kona, actually, where they make you weigh in, because I get sort of obsessed with the numbers and I really don't want to weigh in on Kona morning, but it really is fine. I mean, I have my game face on, and my head is in the game and all of that. So it hasn't really bothered me, but nutrition is so important. I mean, if you're doing an extra, you know, 10 hours of exercise a week over your normal, you know, metabolic rate, you have to compensate for that with, you know, increased intake. And it's not, you know, one calorie does not equal one calorie. You know, it needs to be high quality fuel that you're putting in if you want your body to not only to perform well in the short term, but to stay strong for the long term. I mean, I really think that, you know, certain injuries down the road, I have far fewer injuries now than I had when I was a runner, because I had an eating disorder when I was a runner, and, you know, I pretty much only did running. I did a little bit of, you know, cross training, but mostly did running. So, you know, now I'm a lot healthier now. But yeah, that's something that we all have to keep in mind. And the funny thing is, it doesn't really go away. I mean, it's not like you can be, you know, focused on it for a week because the next week comes and you still have to eat and you still have to train. So, you know, there's a, like, sort of a trick and a peace of mind to getting comfortable with your body and comfortable with your, you know, what your needs are nutritionally.
Ellen, do you think it's been advantageous to you having the eating disorder that it's forced you to really think long and hard about your nutrition and your nutrition strategy in the build-up to an Ironman?
I think that is true. I think that is true, that I really do want everything to count. But at the same time, I don't want to obsess. And as I, you know, mentioned before, I will still eat ice cream. I'll eat chocolate-covered pretzels. I'll eat, you know, plenty of things that might not be on somebody else's more restrictive plan coming up to a big race, but that's also where that's sort of what I've developed in terms of what works for me in a nutritional sense and in a emotional sense, because, you know, there's so many emotional aspects to food and using food for emotional purposes that, you know, I like to just be a little bit more relaxed about it. I mean, when I was in the middle of my eating disorder, there were just, you know, hundreds of foods that were on the bad list and not very many that were on the good list. And if I ever ventured over onto the bad list, then, you know, I was a bad person and I'd have to get rid of that food that I ate. You know, I mean, it was just hellish for so many years that I just can't really go back there.
If somebody's sitting in there now, in that position where they are obsessing and it's impacting their performance, what advice would you give to them?
I think there's a lot more known about eating disorders now. I think while there is still some stigma, there's not as much. And as an athlete, you need to address that not only for your emotional and physical health, but also for your athletic career. I mean, sometimes I give talks to young people, like the CU triathlon team a year or so ago, and I look at what would have made a difference to me. If somebody said, you know, you're hurting yourself. Okay, fine, I'm hurting myself, but I really can't help it. But if somebody had told me, you are ruining your athletic career, and I guarantee you are ruining your athletic career by this, you know, I mean, by this, and it's not a chosen disease. I'm not suggesting that these, you know, that people who have eating disorders or obsessions, you know, are making them up as some sort of, you know, little dieting gimmick or for attention or whatever. I mean, it's not a chosen disease, but there's a lot more help out there than there used to be. The Eating Disorder Foundation is something that I helped to start here in Denver, but, you know, need NEDA. There are plenty of organizations, just, you know, Google it. There are plenty of organizations that have really solid help and references. And, you know, and it's a place where you don't have to feel alone anymore, you know, and especially if, I mean, you know, if you're a male or, you know, you're an athlete and you're supposed to have this very healthy, you know, kind of image. And I remember I just used to feel like a fraud. I mean, an absolute fraud when people would be looking at, you know, Ellen Hart, the winner of the Boulder Boulder, the healthy athlete. And then when I was married to my husband, that was the first husband that was the mayor of Denver, Ellen Hart, the first lady of Denver. And I mean, I was just a mess on the inside, but you don't have to be alone and you don't have to feel like, you know, somehow you're the scum of the earth because you have difficulty in this area. There's a lot of help available. And, you know, it's something that, you know, and it's never really gotten out of hand, but the movie, pretty much I feel as if, you know, we're given certain experiences to share them and to help other people along this, you know, journey of life. And most times, I mean, I'm very happy, you know, I'm not a counselor, but there were a couple of people that were instrumental for me, people that I knew that had been really sick with eating disorders and they got better. And it was just, I hung on to them for dear life. I mean, not physically, I just hung on to the idea that it was possible to get better. And, you know, that bit of hope is really important. So usually I just give people my phone number and say, if you want to talk to somebody that's made it through to the other side, feel free. Then, you know, similarly, if somebody wanted to email me or text me or whatever, you know, that's something that I do.
Ellen, I think it's such an important message, and I'm so glad that we got to share it on this platform. I don't think it gets spoken about often enough in triathlon circles, and I think it's a bigger problem than people actually realize. Thank you so much for sharing your story and the struggles you've had to overcome, because I think it is truly inspirational, and I think just by sharing it here, we are going to help a lot of people.
Thank you, Brad. And you know that it's not... it's not that it's so far a part of my past that I can just talk about it. I mean, that's part of me, and it's still really difficult to you know, kind of reconcile that sometimes, but it is a part of me. And I did have the good fortune and grace to get better. And so it just feels like sharing that is, you know, just kind of part of the process. But thank you for asking about that, because most people really veer away from that subject because it's kind of, you know, uncomfortable and some shameful and stigmatized. So thank you, Brad.
And I also think, just to add, I also think it's always going to be a part of you and someone else who's struggling with it. I don't think, I mean, it's a constant battle. It's something you always have to deal with. And I think that's important to note as well. It's not a case of, oh, all of a sudden the switch is flipped and you're better. It's something right. You grapple with all the time.
That is true. And it's, and you know, that goes both ways. I mean, it's not that I flip the switch and I'm all better.
Yep.
But it's, you know, but sometimes people say, oh God, you really think you're going to have to deal with this for the rest of your life. And yes, I do have to deal with this for the rest of my life, but my life is 95% better than it was in those days, even with all the wonderful stuff that was happening on the exterior, you know, that now that I'm a healthy person from the inside out, you know, that it's a whole new life. And if I still have to manage this, well, it's a small price to pay for, you know, health and happiness.
Well, Ellen, you're an absolute machine. I love tracking your progress at races, and I can't wait to do it over and over again. We'll do it again at 2016 Kona, and I'm sure we're going to be doing it again after that. So thank you so much for chatting to us here on the Kona Edge. Much appreciated, and we look forward to sharing your story.
Thank you, Brad. It was my pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Nutrition is key to put in world-class performances. Register now for our upcoming free online nutrition seminar on thekonaedge.com/nutritionseminar.